to the broadcast listeners. We are rejoined with David Bay from CuttingEdge.org. And, David, thank you for joining us again today.
It's my pleasure.
I apologize for the technical problem that it was mostly my fault. I should have just dialed in and left you hanging with that caller.
All right.
I apologize for that. Another caller today accused me of doing a disservice to our listeners discussing and documenting weather modification. He said I was doing a disservice to the listeners. What do you think of that, David?
Well, I think anytime you have truth and you deliberately hide it or you're afraid to talk about it, that constitutes disservice.
Mm-hmm.
Not explaining truth. You know, there have been radical ideas in the past that just ran against the grain of the people of time. They just couldn't believe it. For example, for over a thousand years during the Middle Ages, schools and universities taught that the earth was flat, and people believed it with all their heart and scoffed at anything else. When the Wright brothers were trying to invent their heavier than air flying machine, people scoffed at that. And the common joke going around at the time was that if God had meant man to fly, he would have made him with wings.
Right.
So whenever you have a situation where the truth is radically different than the conventional wisdom, than the accepted conventional wisdom, the average person will side automatically with the conventional wisdom and consider the other prospect to be untrue or to be radical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're finding here. We're finding that since weather control, weather modification is not something that's taught in schools. It's not something talked about on the mass media. Then the vast majority of people do not believe it. Yesterday, I believe I mentioned the incident as reported in the Wall Street Journal of November 13, 1997, where Malaysia was fighting smog from forest fires in their city. They just, the air was stagnant and people were getting sick and some people had died. And so what the Malaysian government did is that they hired a Russian weather modification company called Elant, that's E-L-A-N-T Industries, to create a hurricane, bring it close enough to blow the smog out of the air, and the rain would take the particles from the forest fire down, and then but not close enough to bring any damage, and then take it out to sea and dissipate it. Now, a short time after I broke the article, and I broke the article on this in mid 1999. A Russian subscriber to Cutting Edge called me from Moscow, and he said, I want to tell you, David, he said, Russian people over here are used to weather modification. They understand it, and they're familiar with the companies that do it.
Okay, keep your thoughts in place. We'll continue on the other side with David Bay and your phone calls. Stay with us. To the broadcast, I suggest you go to the Whether We Like It or Not section of AmericanExpose.com. Darren's put it together, and he covers the U.S. code where it says the term weather modification means any activity performed. Once again, listeners, the term weather modification means any activity performed with the intention of producing artificial changes in the composition, behavior, or dynamics in the atmosphere. This is from the U.S. Code, listeners. This is not anything but documentation, total documentation about where it's going and what's been done. And we go to Section 330E, Authorization of Appropriations. Now, get this, listeners. There are authorized to be appropriated $150,000 for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 1972. $200,000 each for fiscal years 1973 through 1980. $100,000 for fiscal year ending September 30th, 1981. $100,000 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 1986. $100,000 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 1987. $100,000 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 1988 to carry out the provisions of this chapter. And it's on our website, AmericanExpose.com. Now, David, you're coming from perspectives that aren't connecting to me and my website, and you've come to these conclusions yourself, haven't you?
Yes. I started doing journalistic research on this subject in 1999 after reading Dr. Nick Bessage's book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, and that's
right.
H-A-A-R-P. I began to, I didn't believe him. And so I started looking at his footnotes and doing, and researching those, and I found out that he was absolutely correct. And so I began to do research, and I found all sorts of articles, run in papers, newspapers, which talked about weather modification. Senator Claiborne Pell of Rhode Island, a Democrat from Rhode Island, he stated in 1977, and there was a full page article, a double inside page devoted to this, that, he was talking about weather modification being used in Vietnam, in the Vietnam War, where we would flood and, the entire area, just before our, troops would, launch an attack.
Well, the main purpose was to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail to keep
right.
the supplies from coming
that
south.
Too. Right, yeah. right. And so, Claiborne Pell said that, that it's possible to create earthquakes, and it's possible to do a lot of different things with, you create droughts as well as floods and all. And he called for a United Nations treaty to be passed that would prohibit countries from using this technology as a weapon. And about a year later, that United Nations treaty was passed.
Yes.
And if you read that treaty, it talks about, forbidding, changing the, using this technology to change the ecosystem of the targeted enemy nation, altering the jet streams, forbidding to alter the jet streams, forbidding to cause flooding, and just on and on you go. It's just an amazing document, and when I read it, the thought occurred to me, you don't need any law to prevent something that doesn't exist. It's laws regulate only that which exist.
Yes.
And so this technology had reached the state about in the late 70s. Where the United Nations passes this treaty. Now, the one thing as I read the treaty, the one thing that struck me was that it forbids nations to use this technology against other nations, does not forbid nations to use this technology against its own people.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, HAARP can do, H-A-A-R-P can do much of what Scalar can do, but just about 2 years ago, I began to study Lieutenant Colonel Bearden and his book, Florida Lance, where he speaks extensively about the Russian scalar weapon, scalar wave technology, and how it is so superior that Colonel Bearden said that for over 20, for nearly 30 years now, the Russians have controlled global weather. Now, that was such a shocking statement, I didn't really believe it. But in March of this year, an NBC award-winning weather anchor, Scott Stevens, from Pocatello, Idaho, posted an article on, you know, on scalar technology, you know, controlling the weather. And he made the same statement that, that Bearden did, and indeed quoted Bearden. And what, you know, what makes Scott Stevens so credible is that he's a trained NBC weatherman, you know, a weather anchor in Pocatello, Idaho. And he's got all sorts of awards for accuracy in weather forecasting. And the reason he can be so accurate is that he has learned that, you know, he's learned about scalar wave technology, and he has learned to look at photographs of clouds and see what he calls markers, scalar markers. And from those markers, he can determine what the weather's going to be like the next day or you know, or the day after that or up to a 5 or 6 day period. So, you know, it's really a very precise science. Now, we should point out, you know, I would like to point out just the, or to educate your listeners for just a few seconds as to the basic facts about this, because once you understand the basic facts, it's not too hard to understand. About 1906, a brilliant scientist by the name of Nikola Tesla, the guy who invented the incandescent light bulb, he discovered that the world, you know, planet Earth, is one gigantic circuit, you know, the electrical circuit. It's an electrical circuit, and it's a complex circuit, but it's a circuit nevertheless, and it's constantly pulsating electricity day and night. About 2 years later, he discovered the exact frequency at which the Earth pulsates. He discovered that it was between, I believe it was 6.8 to 7.3 ELF, extremely low frequency. So he had money from bankers to do all sorts of projects, and he used this money to build two transmitting towers on Long Island. And he had them up about 1912. And he started doing experiments putting out waves at this frequency. And lo and behold, he found out that he was creating weather. What he was doing was he was mimicking the natural scalar wave that the Earth has been operating on all these, you know, since it was created. He was mimicking those, and he didn't know what he was doing, of course. And after he created some very strong storms, you know, over Long Island and New York City, then he shut down.
And when was this again?
1912, 1913.
There you go.
Now,
very interesting.
Then the American scientists looked at what he was doing and concluded that he was heading down the wrong path. That, you know, in science, that as brilliant as he was wrong in scalar wave technology. And so they shelved that portion of his research. They just and they took his papers and they boxed them up and they put them away. Well, about 1931, or 32, the Polish government requested the United States to send them whatever they could of Nikola Tesla's, because they were going to build a museum to him in Prague. And the United States did that, and part of what they shipped him were all of Nikola Tesla's scalar weapon or scalar wave technology research papers. And, of course, in World War II, the Russians conquered Prague. And they were very interested in Tesla, and they carted away everything in that museum.
Uh-huh.
And after the war, immediately after the war, Stalin commanded his scientific leadership to go through Tesla's papers with a fine-tooth comb to see if there's anything they could use there. And they came across his scalar wave papers very quickly. They concluded that it does, you know, according to Western scientific thinking about electricity and how it works, it did appear that Tesla was off on a tangent here. But they said, you know, he was a very brilliant man. Let's assume that he knew what he was talking about. Let's assume that his assumptions here are correct. So they began to proceed on that basis, and this whole area of scalar wave technology, opened up, before them. On Scott Stevens' site, which he has called Weather Wars, weatherwars.com, he shows, I believe it's in his article on Katrina. He shows a boast made by Khrushchev that back in the mid '60s that they had perfected a fantastic, unbelievable weapon system.
We'll be back with David Bay and your phone calls. Bear with us, callers. We want to get to the ground floor of this as best as possible through David Bay's eyes. And then we'll field your phone calls once again. Stay with us. Again, welcome back to the broadcast. Apparently, shortwave is working well. I'm not getting any reports from anyone about shortwave being down. Scott Stevens' website is on our website. It's one of our partner websites, Weather Wars. Actually, it's weatherwars.info. And certainly, David Bay is chronicling Scott Stevenson's thoughts. And before we take phone calls, David, I want to make sure you get as much out as you feel necessary.
Well, the one concept that people, meteorologists who don't understand this stuff, the one concept they throw out is that they say, how can you possibly get enough energy to create a tornado or a hurricane or steer the thing? Well, the matter, it sounds like a logical argument, but it's not. When you go back to the concept that these waves at this frequency mimic the natural scalar waves, that operate the Earth. Therefore, a scalar directed storm draws energy from the core of the Earth, from below the mantle of the Earth, just like a regular natural hurricane or tornado would do. So that's where you get your energy.
I see.
It's really not all that difficult once you understand.
And I see here that before skeptical world leaders, President Bush is seeking to sell the global community on his blueprint for spreading democracy in Iraq and elsewhere, overhauling the United Nations and expanding free trade. Oh, isn't that wonderful to hear, as our business and industry has been decimated already?
Well, free trade is simply a euphemism for creating a one-world economy. That's all that is. It's just removing all the barriers to a one-world economy, which is what they're planning to go along with their one-world government, the one-world religion.
Yes.
And as far as democracy is concerned, have you noticed that since President Bush was reelected, and in his inaugural speech, he called for democracy throughout the world.
Yes.
Have you noticed that every country that has held an election, the pro-Western candidate has won? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
And, of course, during every...
Actually, no, I haven't, but go ahead.
During the... striking was the Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
When Russia was backing one guy whose name started with a Y, and the United States was backing another guy whose name started with a Y, I can never pronounce those names.
I understand.
And there was a bitter conflict, and the pro-Western guy won, and Russia had egg on her face. It just all goes back to being able to control the ballot box. Joseph Stalin he understood how the Illuminati runs elections. He said, of course, he never lost an election, and I think the lowest count he ever got was 89% when he said, he who casts his vote counts for nothing, but he who counts the vote counts for everything. And that's exactly the truth. That's exactly the situation as it has always existed.
Let's take a few phone calls here and see where we go with the listeners. Let's take John in Maine real quickly. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris, Steve. Good afternoon to you.
Hi.
The gentleman called in from Mass about the mayor wanting to impose fines for not cleaning off your snow.
Yes.
They brought that up here in Maine about 2 years ago, and I don't think it's a big deal, especially when you're riding behind these people who don't like to clean the snow off their cars or vehicles, and they might have one little circle on their windshield that's clear, and you're getting blasted by all the snow and ice, so I'm not concerned about that at all. Day one, Tesla. Weather control is one thing, and I've looked into it myself. It's fascinating. But one of the other things he did was invented a little device that he mounted, I guess, from what I've read, to a girder on a building that was being put up in New York. And it was like a little pinger that would ping the girder, and it would ping it at a precise time. And I guess the way it worked was that little vibration would go to the other end of the earth and come back, and he would ping it again just at the exact moment it came back, which in effect doubled its force going down the next time. And I guess after several hours, New York was experiencing an earthquake, and he knew what was going to happen, but supposedly
he set off several earthquakes.
You could split the earth with that if you kept it up.
He also invented free electricity.
Correct.
And of course his backers shut him off for that because they had all sorts of plans to set up electrical lines all across America and charge a pretty penny for electricity. But using this technology, he discovered that he could create lines of free electricity that could pass over a city and people could just, plug into it. He discovered an awful lot of things.
Tap right into it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
John, do you have more for us, John?
No, I'm fine. I just thought I'd let you know about the mass law and then the splitting of the earth theory. So
I do appreciate
you. You both have a great show. Thank you.
I appreciate your participation. Thank you, John. We'll be back to continue with David Bay and your calls. Stay with us. Listeners, as we see, 1 hour and 16 minutes ago, according to Dennis the Menace and his research from the AP, Hurricane Ophelia crept up the North Carolina coast Wednesday with high wind, driving rain and pounding surf that washed away a barrier island street, cut off electricity to thousands, and threatened widespread flooding. David Bay, isn't that amazing?
Scott Stevens wrote an article. It was a reply to an email that we posted a few days ago where he showed how Ophelia was scalar created and directed. There is one other, before you take another phone call, there is one other thing that I want to inform your listeners about because it's going to have dramatic impact shortly. Part of this Third World War plan, by which they plan to finally crash down the old system and so they can bring in their new world order. Part of that is a three-war scenario, which the first war is between Israel and her Arab neighbors. The second war will be China invading Taiwan, and the third war will be a nuclear confrontation on the North Korean peninsula, with North Korea on the Korean peninsula. And of course, that's people are going to find out or be told. Now, lo and behold, North Korea does have lots of nuclear weapons, and they've got intercontinental and theater ballistic missiles to deliver it. What few people understand is that one thing that both scalar technology and HAARP technology can do is to erect a continent-wide impenetrable shield so that nothing can get through. Not any missiles and not any airplanes can get through this shield. So, if that's one of the little side effects of this technology. And, of course, that's the last thing our government wants people to understand, because if the majority of Americans understood that and believed it, then this part of the planned World War III wouldn't have any effect, because people would just say, we know that's not going to happen because HAARP has the capability of protecting this entire continent.
Well stated. Very, very important information, I would say. Let's go to Ron in Austin and take these phone calls, as the board is filling up again, and that's very, very good. Ron, welcome to the broadcast.
Good, Chris, and good to hear you, David. Can you hear me okay? I'm using a new phone.
Yes.
Okay, great. My background is physics, by the way, and doctorate out of Cornell a number of years ago. I haven't worked in that area, but I'm very familiar with electromagnetics and a little bit, I don't know, I just can't get through some of Bearden's math. I just can't seem to get through it, and I haven't heard any critical stuff come from anywhere else to back it up. So this, he gets a lot of popular support. I don't knock it, and it could very well be powerful and in there. But I just want to throw something out to you, David, and Chris, you may have heard it, may not. I ran across an article when I was doing my search in Wired magazine, and the article came out in 1974. It talked about a Ross Hoffman, who I believe has a research company up in the Northeast, and he had won an award from NASA in 2001 to study redirecting, moving hurricanes around, not creating them. To create them is an enormous amount of energy, but this is for just slightly moving them. Anyway, that was in there, and then I wondered if there was anything more on it, and there was an article that appeared in Scientific American in 2004. It was called Controlling Hurricanes. I read that, and I read that piece. And bottom line is this is what they did. They modeled, so it's a mathematical model. They modeled two storms, one out in Hawaii, and they modeled another one of the storms down in one of our major storms the last few years in the Northeast. They were hurricanes. And what they did was they figured they modeled them well enough so that they could put perturbations in there, minor changes. They could duplicate the changes that actually occurred in that weather pattern when the storms were coming up the coast. So they had a viable model. Then they injected microwaves into the injected. Again, this is a model, a computer model. They injected the microwaves that raised the temperature about 1 to 2 degrees near the core. And they found it had a ripple effect that ran outward. What they were able to do is they were actually able to move the storm path some distance, 10, 20 miles, something just by injecting it like that. The way this technology would be worked would be to have a ring of stationary satellites emitting microwave beams, set up an array, and Chris, arrays, antenna arrays, if they can be phased in order to get directivity, and it would be possible to hit the storm at any time doing it that way. Now, was it McHenry, James McHenry, McKinnery?
Jim McKinney. Jim McKinney
talked about using a laser and said, that's really possible. Let me tell you, I have a fair amount of experience in lasers, and I was at TRW in the 70s and down at San Juan Capistrano, and we were routinely blowing full helicopters out of the air using a chemical laser. It was fairly big. It's about the size of a building. My guess is it's possible to do that now. It was very small, and you certainly can get together a ring of satellites of 10 lasers to create that. I'm impressed by the fact that it takes a very, very, very small increase in temperature near the core and placed correctly to actually significantly deviate the path of the storm. What do you think about that?
Well, Ron, first of all, someone called last hour and said I was doing a disservice to the listeners discussing weather modification. Do you agree or disagree with that caller?
Jesus, you guys got to be crazy.
Okay.
You're doing a service. You're doing a service to the people. I have a lot of people around me that don't want to hear that, hear stuff I have, and I'm talking about this stuff. I'm another one of us wild patriots out there talking, making a lot of talk. And this area I happen to know a little bit about. So I think you're doing a tremendous service to bring this up. You've done a beautiful job. I like your website a lot.
Well, thank you.
I don't want to hold too many people up here.
Well, let me have David respond to what you put forth to the listeners here. David, go ahead.
Well, I think that, you know, one, as far as not being able to understand Bearden's math, he and both Scott Stevens addressed this issue, you know, in the fact that what gave the Russians such a monstrous head start in this whole thing was that science, Western scientists believed that what Tesla was doing amounted to junk science, and because they misunderstood Maxwell's theory of 1865
right.
just slightly, and so right. that threw them completely off.
Right.
But you know, there are various technologies, I'm sure, but if you nothing can approach the power of being able to mimic the actual scalar waves that the Earth has been operating on for ever since it was created.
Good. Okay. Thank you so much.
Ron, I appreciate your phone call.
Yeah. Talk to you again.
Thank you so much. Let's move to Paul in Fort Lauderdale. Paul, you're on the air. Thank you.
Right after I got off the air with you yesterday, you got wiped out by another solar flare. Supposedly a solar flare, but anyway.
Did you say to make them do that?
Well, I had a helicopter fly over my house real low about 10 minutes after that happened, so
oh,
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm important. I don't know. But anyway, what I wanted to add to this was that the radio frequency that your guest referred to that the Earth emits is called a Schumann frequency. And when someone is hypnotized or goes down into a meditative state, what they do is they're lowering the frequency of their brain waves to anywhere between 7 and 7.5 hertz or cycles. I think another spin-off from the material your guest was mentioning today is that this particular technology can be used for mind control, because
absolutely.
When the brain waves are down around that frequency,
absolutely.
The subconscious is very, very open to suggestion. And your conscious doesn't pick it up, but your subconscious does.
Dr. Nick Bessage talks a lot about the capability of HARP with mind control.
Yes.
And this HARP wave can, you know, does do that. It mimics the frequency that the brain operates on. They can actually put thoughts inside your head.
Yeah, if it's broadcast at the right frequency, it goes into your subconscious, and you think you're thinking about this yourself. Well, you're not. You're being fed this thought.
Right. And you see, the Russians, according to Bearden, the Russians have been pinging America and controlling the world since about 1976, controlling the world's weather.
Is that the Russian woodpecker?
That's the Russian woodpecker.
I hear that in shortwave. I used to hear it all the time.
I've been in retail all my life. I was a buyer and merchandise manager for a big company on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And in 1979, 1980, I noticed during the Christmas season. October through December.
Yeah.
That when our stores, we had a 65 store chain, when our stores reported being busy on a weekend, companies throughout the whole nation reported busy sales. And the reverse was true. When our stores were not busy on a weekend, stores throughout the whole country were not busy. And I began to realize that some people were shopping like sheep. They were all going to the trough at once, or they were staying away from the trough at once.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that to several other merchandise managers in 1981, and they said, you know, you're right. We have seen the same thing. And I always thought maybe there was a conditioning mechanism in in television or some mass media that would reach everybody, because it didn't matter whether you were in sunny California or where you were in Yankee Northeast or you were in redneck country in the Southeast or where you were, the pattern was the same.
Yeah, well, if they have music going in the background that's piped in, you can put a subliminal message in there.
I think there has been a concerted effort to achieve a population-wide mind control using both HARP and scalar technologies.
Now, David, before we go any further, and stay with us, Paul, how about the Illuminati game?
Okay. Well, the Illuminati card game is smoking gun evidence in a lot of different areas. I said yesterday, Chris, that when I got into this study, I realized that this plan to create this new world order, global government, economy, and religion was pretty well written out in New Age and Black Magic bookstores. And with the help of a former New Age person, I went in and bought, selected books. And he said, I should read. That would help me understand the plan. I realized that in occult circles, this plan was well known a long time ago. And in the Illuminati card game, it's a role-playing game put out by a company called Steve Jackson Games, and they put out Dungeons & Dragons type of role-playing games, very occult-based company. Well, he, in April of 1995, he introduced this Illuminati card game, and at that time, I was a manufacturer's representative, and we represented a variety of lines, toys, games, puzzles, trains, that kind of thing. So I was calling on role-playing bookstores, game stores. And I was in New York City this one April, and it was April 1995, and the owner brought up this Illuminati card game, and he said, David, I know you've been studying this. And he said, this is a new game, just a new role-playing game just been introduced. And each one of these cards, according to Steve Jackson Games, represents an action that the Illuminati is going to take to bring down this present system. And he says, there are some very interesting cards in here. And so we started looking at the cards, and what caught my eye, was a card depict. Now, this is 1995, okay? This card depicted the Pentagon on fire in the middle. Then another card that struck my interest was the Twin Towers under attack. In fact, the North Tower, which is the right-hand tower, had a big ball of black and red smoke at just the, about two-thirds of the way up that tower, at just the point that the airplane supposedly hit it September 11th, 2001. So in the occult world, the plan for the attacks of 9/11 were known as early as 1995. In fact, Steve Jackson started work on this game in 1990.
Okay, could I interject something here?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay, I have to confess, I have been a student of and a practitioner of the occult for the past 20 years. I only do good things with it.
Okay,
the energy itself
magic,
is neutral.
Right?
It depends how it's used.
The right-hand path, right? So you're
right.
A right-hand path person.
Yeah, right pillar for those out there who know what right pillar means. Okay. What the Illuminati very carefully, very cleverly tricked you into doing was in reinforcing what is called a thought form. They trick you into this. In other words, when you see the concept, the idea of the Pentagon burning, of the Twin Towers burning, is an idea that has been fed energy through people who would be called adepts, and they're very good at it.
You know, that's just plain New Age gobbledygook.
Well, no, this is, believe me, this is how it works.
I mean,
and
no,
people who play
believe me, I read about
duped into this.
I read about most of these things about that are now coming true.
Yeah.
I read about them in books that were written in the 1960s and 1970s.
Oh, sure.
I mean, this is a very well-thought-out plan.
Oh, of course. But what they do is they dupe people. They trick people into supporting their agenda. They trick people. You have to be very – these people are very clever, and they are extremely evil and manipulative. And if you understand what it is they're doing, as I do, you will do everything in your power not to help them.
Paul, listen, I got to let you go. The board is full. I'm sorry. Thank you for being with us. Once again, this Illuminati game, is it available today?
I believe it is. You could probably find it by Googling, or I'm not sure if it's still being carried in the bookstores.
Okay, it's the Illuminati card game, listeners.
The Illuminati card game.
By Stephen Jackson Games.
Right. They've got cards, they've got hurricane cards, weather modification cards, earthquake cards.
There you go. Sheldon,
they knew it. I mean, the weather modification part of this whole plan to overthrow this old system, this old world order, was well known. It was well known.
There you go. Sheldon in Tucson, welcome. Okay, cut him off. Let's go to Art in Kansas. Art, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris.
Okay, stay with us, Art. We'll be right back with you as we... Time sure does fly. We'll be back with David Bay. CuttingEdge.org is his website. And we'll continue with Sheldon, Art, Patrick. Oh, boy, Sheldon's gone. We'll continue with Art. Stay with us, listeners. Back to the closing of the broadcast. Let's take Art and Patrick and Jeff when we can. Art, welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Wish you'd get some LA4 bumper music. At first hour, did you mention Hansa?
I did.
And you said he was out of there or something like that?
He's deserted me.
Okay, because the other day I mentioned that the Communist Party was headquartered up in the Kurdistan, and he started making excuses all of a sudden, and I couldn't figure out where he was coming from.
Uh-huh.
Now, he mentioned that Condoleezza Rice was a protege of old man Corbell.
Yes.
Albright's father.
Yes.
Now, Shirley Temple is being awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award by the left-wing Screen Actors Guild in January for 30 years of lifetime service to humanity, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Since she was ambassador to Czechoslovakia, I'm wondering if she's buddies with Madeleine and Condoleezza.
More than likely.
Okay. Now, Monday night, the 12th of September, CBS, 6 p.m. News, John Roberts, the other John Roberts, their anchor, was talking about the hurricane, Ophelia. He says Ophelia's hanging around the coast. It will probably go out to the Atlantic and make a U-turn and come back.
Well, you know, before scalar wave technology was used to direct hurricanes, such activity was just virtually unheard of.
I know, but how would they know? How would John Roberts and CBS
exactly.
know?
Exactly, how would they know? Exactly.
Now, I hate to correct a guest on the air, but as far as I know, Tesla invented the fluorescent bulb.
What did I say?
Incandescent.
I'm sorry. I stand corrected. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right.
As far
it was Edison that did the incandescent. Yes, the fluorescent.
Yeah, and
I'm really sorry.
As far as I know, he only built one tower in Wydenclyffe, Long Island, because they ran out of funds, and it was such an undertaking. They had so many setbacks, and J.P. Morgan pulled out the funding in favor of Anaconda Copper.
Well, J.P. Morgan pulled the funding more because he because of the dramatic storms he was creating and than anything else. They just didn't want anything to do with it. They just pulled the plug. Also, he about that time, Tesla started talking about free electricity to everybody.
Yeah,
and that was a major reason why they pulled that funding. I'll have to check my records, but I was sure they built two towers.
I don't think so, because I have the video, several videos on it, and they recreated the whole thing.
Yeah, I've got a book on, you know, on Tesla.
Yeah,
and,
but it was such
I'll
an
have to check it.
Such an undertaking.
Yeah, Art, I appreciate your thoughts.
It really was.
Okay, now, just one other little thing while I go. Luciano Pavarotti, you know, the tenor, mm-hmm. is being awarded the Freedom of the City of London Award. Largely symbolic honor because he's been doing with the things with the Red Cross, International Red Cross, and the Red Crescent
Society.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
But it's largely symbolic, they say, even though this was nominated by Lord Mayor of the City of London.
Amazing.
Yeah, really is.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, Art.
But if they give him the death sentence, he can be hanged with a silken cord. That makes it all worthwhile.
I'm sorry we can't go with Patrick and Jeff, and thank you, Art. And once again, David Bate, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
My privilege to have you.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for John, listeners. Much to do, much research on AmericanExpose.com. Dennis the Menace on a rampage. Once again, good afternoon.